Thank you for this day and for your many blessings to us today. Thank you, Lord, for the joy of being in your house with these, your children, to sing songs of praise and adoration before you, to fellowship one with another and just enjoy the company of your kids. Like Rex said, Lord, this every week is a family reunion for us. And I know for my part, Lord, I can hardly wait from Sunday to Sunday to come back and just greet and meet people and exchange your love with them. Thank you for that privilege and that honor that we have in the body of Christ. Oh God, I ask that you would take your word today and just make it a part of our being, that as we study and look at some things concerning the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, that we would see things that maybe we haven't seen before, or just be reminded of things we need to be reminded of. We know your Holy Spirit is perfect in restoring and rekindling and reminding us of the flame that is our salvation, your grace to us. And so, Lord, as we look at these words, we give your Spirit freedom in this building, in this room, in our hearts, to do that work which He alone can do in the life of a human being. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. I have this morning with me three sets of notes, because as of midnight last night, I still wasn't sure what we were going to do this morning. So, maybe some of this would splash into next week, and maybe not. Genesis chapter 1, please. A Christmas service in Genesis? You bet that's where Christmas starts. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. Turn with me, if you will, to the Gospel according to St. John, chapter 1. The Gospel according to St. John, chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. Turn with me, if you would, please, to Paul's letter to the church in Colossae, Colossians chapter 1. Beginning in verse 15, Colossians chapter 1, verse 15. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by Him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by Him and for Him. He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. And He is the head of the body, the church. He's the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything He might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all His fullness dwell in Him, and through Him to reconcile to Himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through His blood shed on the cross. And then turn with me, if you will, to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, He has spoken to us by His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things, and through whom He made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of His being, sustaining all things by His powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of majesty in heaven. So he became as much superior to the angels as the name he has inherited is superior to theirs. In our Christmas celebration, we remember the most amazing event in the history of the universe. We have by these scriptures an account in Genesis and in the Gospel of John and in Colossians and in Hebrews, and we'll look at a moment in Philippians chapter 2. We have in these scriptures an account of the creation of the universe. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And John tells us, and Paul tells us in Colossians, that it was in fact Jesus Christ who created the heavens and the earth. The second person of the triune God. There's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. All three separate, distinct, individual persons, one God. And in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. John and Paul and the writer to the Hebrews tell us that it was Jesus Christ, the second person of the Trinity, who created the heavens and the earth. And in the course of time, in the fullness of time, according to Paul in Galatians, a young woman in Nazareth conceived, a young virgin woman, conceived in her womb, according to Luke, the seed of God that was prophesied in Genesis chapter 3 at first. And this woman became pregnant by the power of the Holy Spirit of God. And 3 months or so, let's see, 6 months, half a year after John the Baptist was born, Jesus of Nazareth was born in a stable. We sang songs about that this morning. One song that we didn't sing, but you will hear it this year if you have your radio on, and perhaps next week when you go to either Cowboy Church or this church, you can't help but to hear a new song that has become one of the most popular Christmas songs. And by new, we all understand we could be talking about a few decades anymore when we talk new. Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you delivered will soon deliver you. Wow. Words by Mark Lowry, rode out one day on the bus with Bill Gaither on tour. Handed it to his friend Buddy Green, who we know as the harmonic player. Said, Buddy, can you do something with these? And in a couple of days, on Monday morning, Buddy called him up and sang to him, Mary, did you know? And put it to music. Did you know that your baby boy would give sight to a blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would calm a storm with just his hand? Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels trod? And when you kiss your little baby, you've kissed the face of God. Wow. Oh, Mary, did you know that your baby boy is Lord of all creation? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Nothing that was made was not made without Him. And He made all things and still holds all things together. Even in the womb of Mary, It was the power of Jesus Christ that held the universe together and prevented the atoms from splitting apart. Did you know your baby boy is Lord of all creation? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will one day rule the nations? I've been reading about that in Ezekiel and in Revelation. If you read your Bible like I do on the same general course every year, you're just finishing up Ezekiel and getting into that part of Revelation, but I couldn't wait, so I finished reading it all yesterday. Your baby boy will rule the nations. Did you know that your baby boy was heaven's perfect lamb? When his cousin, John the Baptizer, said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Mary, did you know that? Oh, Mary. Mary, Mary. The blind will see. The deaf will hear. Get this. The dead will live again. The lame will leap. The dumb will speak the praises of the Lamb. Oh, Mary, did you know the sleeping child you're holding is the great I Am? Isn't that a great song? Wow. I must have listened to that for 2.5 hours yesterday on YouTube, done by a lot of different people. People who aren't generally regarded as saints in our gospel music hall of fame. But nonetheless, people who love this song and the message of this song. Could you think with me for just a moment what our world might be like if Jesus hadn't been born? Turn with me to Philippians, please. We're studying Philippians on Wednesday night. And we're right at the precipice of heading into this passage this Wednesday coming up. But we're going to steal a little bit of thunder today. Philippians chapter 2, beginning in verse 5. Paul is addressing the church here and he says, "Your attitude," that means you as in John and Bill and Rex and Kenny and the rest, Greg. "Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing." You, chances are, have memorized this verse more like this. "Who being in the very nature God, did not think it robbery." Did not, how's it go? Yeah, did not think it robbery to be equal with God. The translation there depends on whether you see that word translated robbery as in the active or passive. It can go either way in the grammar that's there. It means the same thing, though. Let me tell you what it means. When Adam was in the garden, God said to him, "Look at all of this is yours for your pleasure and your enjoyment. But this one tree, stay away. Don't eat that tree." That's the test. And Satan came to him and Eve and said, "If you eat the fruit of this tree, you can become like God." And so Adam and Eve wanted to be like God. They grasped at that. And they tried to steal it. The word that's used here in Philippians is a word that's the only place it's used in this sense in the New Testament. But in another form of the word, it's used of robbery in several different places. It's always violent. Always violent. And so Adam and Eve tried to rob the essence of God. And yet Jesus Christ, who was God, didn't think that his equality with God was something that he had to grasp at and violently maintain. He was willing to give up the form of God, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing. You see, the temptation for man was to become God. The diligence of Jesus, God, was to become man. And so there he lay in that manger, born of a woman, born of a virgin, very God, and all of a sudden, very man. And even at the moments when he was suckling his mother's breast, he was holding the essence of the universe together. He had coordinated all of the movements of the stars and the planets and the heavens, and which way does the Milky Way go now? And even in the moments at his mother's breast, was still maintaining all of that order. And his mind was on you, because Ephesians tells us in the early chapter 1 that before the foundations of the earth were laid, God thought about you. He thought, you see, it wasn't an afterthought that Christ was born. And your salvation and your sanctification and your redemption is not an afterthought to God. It was before the foundations of the earth were even laid. God thought about you. And he knew that sin would cripple the world, that our enemy, the devil, would pollute everything about God. As Kenny said this morning in Romans 8, even the stars and all the heavens groan in the corruption of sin and wait for their full redemption. But think about this for a minute with me. We often say that the best way to really understanding the New Testament, if we apply ourselves to 10, 20, 30, 40 years of studying the Scriptures, the more we know about the Old Testament, the better we understand the New. You know what, that works both ways? I have a book at home, some of you may have the same one, by Herbert Lockyer. All the Messianic Prophecies in the Old Testament. 527 pages. Book size, you know, this size. 527 pages. He lists and gives brief discussion, not pages and pages, brief discussion about Messianic prophecies. The prophecies of the twofold word and the twofold witness, the prophecies of his pre-existence, the prophecies of his ancestry, the prophecies of his birth, the prophecies of his character, the prophecies of his ministry, the prophecies of the dual nature, the prophecies of his death, the prophecies of his resurrection, the prophecies of his ascension and exaltation, the prophecies of the second advent, and then messianic prophecies that are symbolic, prophetic gleams from conspicuous persons like Adam, Abel, Melchizedek, and others, the prophetic gleams from the prescribed offices of prophet, priest, and king, prophecies, gleams from historical events, from the ark, the ladder, the temple, the blood-sprinkled door, prophetic gleams from religious rituals after the construction of the temple and the tabernacle, the ceremonies involved in the tabernacle. And then prophetic foregleams from Levitical offerings, prophetic foregleams from feasts and festivals. We've talked about those in the course of this last year. And prophetic foregleams of Christ's own teaching, the double function of the prophet, his predictions fulfilled. And then prophetic foregleams from metaphors in the Scriptures, Christ's quotations from all the prophets. That's just the table of contents, the listing of the chapters in this book. But you know, the Old Testament is nothing without the New Testament. The Old Testament is nothing without the New Testament. We have people who would be walking after the crucifixion, their faces downcast and depressed, and don't know what's going to happen to the world. And they're on their way back home to Emmaus, And a stranger walks up alongside of them and says the same thing, almost, that stranger said to Cain 4,000 years earlier. Why is your face so downcast? And he says, have you not heard? Are you the only one in Jerusalem that doesn't know the events of the past few days? What events? There was a teacher from Galilee that we thought would be the Christ, and they killed him. And the stranger said, really? No kidding. And he began to teach them all about himself from Moses and the prophets. You see, these men and this man and woman who were studious in the Old Testament, even when it was fulfilled in their eyes, they didn't have a clue what was going on. Neither did the Apostle Paul. How many charitable hospitals in the large cities of the United States have the sickle from the Muslim church on the front of it? How many charities do you know to give sight to the blind like the Lions were founded by Hindus? How many oppressed nations celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ? Even in our chaotic gift giving, which Ken confessed he was part of yesterday, how many other cultures, whether they're Buddhist or Maoist, Islamic, Hindi, how many other cultures celebrate a day every year and a week where the greatest joy that they have is to give of themselves to somebody else? Who teaches that? How is it that we have an army for 120 years now or thereabouts, the name of which, the Salvation Army, and another organization founded by the same people, almost as old, that is one of the largest, if not the largest, providers of geriatric care in the United States, Volunteers of America. You know them as Horizons Care Center in Eckerd, Valley Manor in Montrose. Where does this charity come from, if not Christ? All of the charities and the hospitals and the nursing homes and the burn units had their conception in Philippians chapter 2, verse 7. But made himself nothing. Made himself nothing. It was the choice of the second person of the Godhead, the triune God. It was his choice in eternity past somewhere, when those words don't even make sense together. It's an oxymoron to say eternity future, eternity past. It's the only way we can understand it, though. It was his choice to give up the form, morphe, appearance of God, and take on the form, morphe, appearance of a servant. And not just any servant. He humbled himself, being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. You see, when he gave up his life, he already knew that when he was laying in the manger that night. And a few months or years later, when the wise men came and bearing gifts, Chaldeans didn't do that ordinarily. They were a pagan culture. And yet the remnant, probably of the testimony of the prophet Daniel, centuries earlier, had left a fragment of wisdom among the Chaldean people such that the wise men, when they saw the star, said, "Let's go, boys." And they put on their dark glasses like Bud. And they said, "We're on a mission from God." And they headed out west to see the one who would be born King of the Jews. So this Christmas, when we're gathering around whatever it is we gather around, whether it's the fireplace or the altar at home with friends and family and loved ones, listening to great songs like "O Holy Night." Man, I listened to that thing probably 20 times yesterday by different artists on YouTube. Don't you love YouTube for that? Wow. I heard some great people singing "O Holy Night." And they could even figure out the timing of the real choruses, not just keep singing "Fall on Your Knees," which is a good one, but the choruses that go with that song have a little bit of a strange timing, so we usually just default to that one. But those people could sing it. And so wherever it is we're gathering this Christmas season, maybe, I don't know, did you get your tickets to Chicago? Yes. Maybe. Remember that one that we celebrate his birth in the manger is the same one in Genesis 1, in John 1, in Colossians 1, in Hebrews 1, in Philippians 2, that is God Most High. And the only reason he was born in the manger, the only reason, was to provide salvation for you and rescue you from the grip, the tenacious grip of Satan, and redeem you from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light, which was his plan for you from the very get-go. Remember that. And as we sing "O Holy Night" and hark the herald angels sing, "Mary, did you know?" As we sing all of those, don't just think about the baby. Think about God. That's who it was. Would you stand with me as we pray, please? Ken, would you close us in prayer?